Welcome to NoSpinHomilies.com. I invite you to join me to reflect upon the homilies of Father Dan. Father Dan will challenge us to open our heart, mind, and soul to the Word of God. Father Dan will draw upon sacred scripture, along with art, literature, and the lives of the saints, to help us grow in our love and knowledge of the scripture. In doing so, we can become the living Word of God in this world. Now it is my pleasure to present to you No Spin Homilies.
St. Augustine once said, "Love God and then do whatever you want." I'll say that again. Love God and then do whatever you want. Now, some, when hearing that, will say, "Boy, I have waited so long to hear that. Yes, I love God, and now I can indulge in a life of debauchery. I can indulge all my fantasies." Well, that's not exactly what St. Augustine had in mind. When he says love God, he means fix the attention of your soul to God, such that your life is now ordered to God's purposes and God's will. Then anything that you do will be a byproduct of the level and the depth of our love for God. And how fitting that this theological concept is now so applicable and appropriate to this weekend's celebration. Our church around the world celebrates the conversion of St. Paul. In fact, Pope Benedict declared this year, from June 2008 to June 2009, as the year of Paul. It is important for us to take time out and celebrate St. Paul's life and ministry, because next to Jesus Christ, St. Paul is the second most influential person in all of Christianity. Next to Jesus Christ, St. Paul is the most influential person in the formation of our Christian church. And in so many ways, St. Paul epitomizes that theological concept of St. Augustine: love God and then do anything that you want. Yet that wasn't entirely the case prior to Paul's conversion. St. Paul, at a very early age, was sent to Jerusalem to study under the rabbi Gamaliel, and he was a very prominent rabbi at the time. This would be synonymous for a young seminarian to be sent to Rome to finish his studies. Now, Paul studied the prophets, he studied the law, yet he also studied Greek literature and debate. This, coupled with the fact that Paul was a Roman citizen, proved to be vital attributes and key assets that would contribute to his future success as an apostle. During this time of education and training, Paul became zealous for the Jewish faith. Paul ate, slept, read, studied Judaism. It was at the very heart of who Paul was. Now, if you are an upstanding Jew, as Paul would declare that he was in Galatians as well as Ephesians, what is the one thing that would bother you? Well, this movement called Christianity. This was a movement that was composed of fellow Jews who had the audacity, the gall, to publicly proclaim that a man that was crucified as a criminal was now the Messiah of the Jewish people. This deeply troubled Paul to such an extent that Paul believed Christianity was a deep and ominous threat to Judaism and their way of life. Therefore, Paul took it upon himself to eradicate or exterminate this Christian movement that he thought was so threatening to the Jewish way of life. We see this in the Acts of the Apostles. In chapter 4, Paul literally presides at the stoning to death of Saint Stephen, the very first martyr of Christianity. In chapters 8 and 9, it writes that Paul, still breathing murderous threats against the Christians, is going house to house throughout Jerusalem and dragging out men and women and leading them in chains to prison. Remember, Christianity was an outlawed religion of the state of Rome, and therefore Paul was within his rights as a Roman citizen in conducting this behavior. Furthermore, Paul was doing this under the religious sanction of the Jewish religious establishment in Jerusalem. Finally, the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem commissioned Paul to go to Damascus, a town east of Jerusalem. Rumor has it that the Christian movement is taking place there and that a community is being established. Paul is commissioned to go and nip that community in the bud, to break it up, and then to arrest the leaders of that Christian movement, bring them to Jerusalem so that they could be tried and executed. As Paul travels to Damascus, the last person that he expects to see is Jesus Christ. Yet it is on that road that Paul encounters the risen Christ. Paul is knocked off of his horse by a bolt of lightning, and he hears the words of Christ, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Notice the detail here. At this moment, Paul is blinded. Furthermore, the men that have accompanied Paul on this journey take him by the hand and lead him into the town of Damascus. For 3 days and three nights, Paul is in complete darkness, blinded. During this time, he eats and drinks nothing. This is very symbolic of Jesus' own death and his burial in the crypt. For 3 days and three nights, Jesus is in darkness, in death. Yet after 3 days, he rises from the tomb. Before this event, Paul was confident that he was doing something that was right by persecuting the church, the Christian church. Paul saw it. Everything was clear to him. What he was doing was protecting Judaism and the faith. Now that he has encountered the risen Christ, everything that he thought was true and right is now turned upside down, and symbolically, he is blinded. Friends, how often does that happen to us? We are so sure that we are doing is right in God's will, but instead, it just may not be. Remember my homily last week, in which we discovered how we can discern and understand God's will for each and every one of us. We learned from the call of Samuel how we are able to properly discern God's will for us all and then live it out. After 3 days, Paul is baptized, and suddenly his eyes are opened. He has his vision, and now he sees the world through the eyes of Jesus Christ. And now the love affair between Paul and Jesus Christ begins. Now Paul begins to live out that theological concept of St. Augustine. Love God, and then do whatever you want. Paul loves Christ, and now he does whatever he wants. What does he do? He dedicates his entire life to serving God and his church. For approximately 25 years, Paul works tirelessly to evangelize, to write, to preach, to establish numerous Christian communities such that he is able to evangelize two continents, Asia as well as Europe. That's why Paul, next to Jesus Christ, is the second greatest influential person in all of Christianity. So what can we take from this? What can we learn from Paul's conversion? Well, we too can do great things on behalf of Jesus Christ in this world because we love God, and therefore we can do anything we want. First, let's start with Paul's encounter with the risen Christ. We too encounter the risen Christ in our life. Where? At Mass. Every time we come to Mass, we encounter the risen Christ. First through sacred scripture, and then when we receive the body and blood of Christ. Now when Paul encountered the risen Christ, his life changed radically. Yet, we too change, but slowly and subtly. Recall St. John Chrysostom when he reflected upon the Eucharist. He said, "You are what you eat." Every time we come to the altar and we encounter the risen Christ and receive his body and drink his blood, we gradually, slowly, and subtly grow more and more into the image and likeness that we were created in, the image and likeness of God. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Once we have encountered the risen Christ, our love can't help but grow, broaden, and deepen to the extent that our love for God now spills over and touches all of the people that we come in contact with. Our love for God now becomes an expression of all the good things that we do in this world. From volunteering at soup kitchens, from volunteering in the school, or all the various activities at our parishes, doing the corporal and spiritual works of mercy, visiting the sick, bringing communion to people that are shut-ins. We, like Paul, can love God and then do whatever we want. All of these good things that we do in our life are the byproduct and the manifestation of the level and the depth of the love that we have for God. Like Paul, we can love God and then do whatever we want. I'll leave you with one last thought. Now, we assume that after Paul's conversion to Christianity, he immediately set out and embarked upon his mission in evangelizing the world. Yet he did not do that. As Paul attests himself in Galatians chapter 1, verse 17, Paul, after his baptism, immediately fled into the Arabian desert and remained there for approximately 3 years. After that period, then he went back to Jerusalem to confer with the apostles. St. Augustine, when reflecting upon this, said, when Paul was in the Arabian desert, Paul was searching for the unum necessarium. The unum necessarium, which is Latin for the one thing necessary. The one thing necessary was Jesus Christ as the center of our life. If our life is ordered around Jesus Christ, then yes, we have found the unum necessarium, the one thing necessary. My friends, at the time of our baptism, we found the unum necessarium. And every time we come to the Eucharist, it helps us to maintain that unum necessarium in our life, the one thing that is necessary, which is to always have Jesus Christ as the center of our life. See then, everything in our life now is in harmony. Both the joys and the good things, as well as our concerns and our worries, all of them are balanced, in harmonious relationship with each other. Now, does that mean the unum necessarium takes away all of our worries and our anxieties and our concerns? No, not at all. But it does balance them with the hope that as long as Jesus Christ is at the center of our life, then nothing at all can harm us. Nothing at all will conquer us. But instead, we will persevere through any challenge and any difficulty because Jesus Christ is our champion and our Lord and Savior, and he defeated the worst enemy in this entire world, sin and death. And as long as we hold true to the unum necessarium, the one thing necessary, Jesus Christ as the center of our life, then yes, we too, like Paul, we can love God and then do anything that we want. And may the peace and the grace of Jesus Christ rest upon you always.